Hi guys, welcome to The Hot Desk. This is a new segment on the podcast. We're going to be talking all things society, culture and entertainment. Things that are a little bit lighter. Join me, Rachel J, and my guests as we delve into some fun things, some lighter things and some happenings that are going on in the world. Welcome to The Hot Desk, lols. This is going to be fun. You guys listening, this is a new segment that we're bringing to the podcast to kind of talk about some lighter things, a bit of happenings, if you will, in society, culture and entertainment. I thought, who better to bring on to the desk than my lovely friend Lola Berry? Welcome.
Thanks for having me. I was just saying last time we caught up, we ran into each other at an airport.
I know. And you know what? I was thinking about that and I thought, thank God I ran into you, because had I not seen you, that we haven't seen each other in person for ages, had I not seen you, then I would not see you in person because I didn't know you were moving to LA at that point.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it would have been ages. And we were able to help each other with some podcasts, weren't we?
We both helped each other,
which is not, I like that. Like there's a lot of competition, I feel like, in Australia, but like here everybody is like champions you, and I feel like I want to bring that back to Australia. And I think because you've spent so much time in LA as well, you're really good at championing other people.
Yeah, I mean, when you told me that you're moving, I was like, that is so cool, because you know LA is a different beast to Australia. Obviously, you know, you've been here for a long time in the media, but LA is, I mean, tell me how you find it, because I know you've been there like quite a lot, but now this is the big move. So how does it feel? Because now it must feel like I'm here now, I'm committed to this.
Yeah, I mean, it's like equal parts exciting and petrifying, like even just like getting a car lease and like looking at it, we're apartment hunting at the moment, and it's just like, they do credit checks. You've got to show all this American income, and both Matt and I's income at the moment is pretty much Aussie, you know? And it's just like, oh, mate, like, yeah. It's just like learning a new language. That's what it feels. That's how living in LA feels like. So, and like figuring out what neighborhood you want to live in. I don't know. It's awesome, but like a lot at the same time.
Yeah. Where are you looking at? Because I think you told me, sort of more
all over, like, over, mate. Like yesterday I was looking in freaking Pasadena. We're looking in Brentwood on Monday and the weekend in Santa Monica. I've also lived all over. I have lived all over LA. So I'm basically, each time we look at an apartment or area, I take Matt out for a date, like a lunch date in that
cute.
Area. Just so we can get a vibe for like the hikes and the coffee and like, you know, does it feel safe around the streets? Like we looked at a place last week in West Hollywood, but it was really Hollywood. It was just marketed as West Hollywood, and it didn't feel super safe. Like, you know, Matt's like, oh my God, like I don't feel really safe here. And I'm like, well, really it's Hollywood. And Hollywood, you think, the listener might think, oh my God, Hollywood Walk of Fame and all that, but it's not, it's not actually where you want to live necessarily, you know?
No, there's a lot of homeless people in Hollywood. It's so weird that basically Hollywood and West Hollywood's basically right next to it, that West Hollywood feels so much safer. It just has a different vibe about it.
And I could see you loving West Hollywood. I could see you in West Hollywood.
West Hollywood, yeah, I did live there in West Hollywood. I did mostly West Hollywood, and I did Santa Monica for what, I think one stint I went there. I thought Santa Monica was a bit too far though. Because the drive, so it's
Santa Monica, it's true. All that west, like, because all the acting schools are kind of around Hollywood, to be honest. Kind of in that Hollywood, West Hollywood, North Hollywood,
in that,
you know, like kind of nook. And it's like to do that drive from Santa Monica for a 5 p.m. class, it's a 2-hour commute one way.
Yeah.
It's wild. And so you've just got to like figure out what your life calls for as well.
Yeah. That's what I found. I found definitely, Santa Monica was too far. How are you finding driving? Was that a trip
driving
for you? You drive on because obviously the other side of the road.
I love it. This is my fourth year driving. I've got my Cali license. I love it. Like Matt's like, oh God, you're a bit too relaxed and casual. And I'm like, well. It's the first time I've ever driven here where it felt natural. Like I didn't need to go righty tighty, lefty loosey, righty tighty. Like usually I have to have no radio and like focus for a few days, but this has been the opposite. Like the day we picked it up, I was on the highways. I was just like back to like very
back to LA
like,
life.
Yeah. So it's a good tip for anyone visiting is like we're doing this at the moment is like hiring on Turo, T-U-R-O, and it's like Airbnb for cars. So if you kind of like want to try a car or you're not ready to lease yet, it's a really good, like just while I've got night acting school and stuff, I'm like I want to have wheels with me so I'm not Ubering too late at night and things like that.
Oh, that's a good tip. That there was definitely no Turo when I was there. I feel like when I was there with the car leasing, that when I was over there, it was the whole way of that first bunch of Aussie actors or the first sort of the whole Neighbours Home and Away crew, that wave of people. And I feel like a lot of us hired our cars or leased our cars from this one dodgy guy in West Hollywood and they were the shittest cars. Like honestly, I didn't know if they were roadworthy, to be honest.
Oh, mate, that was me the last 3 years. Yeah. I got screwed over by an Australian actor, by the way. Not going to name names. But, yeah. So he would sublease me his car and he would charge. It was an old, beat up, very old car. And he'd charge me $600 US a month, which you should be driving a friggin' Bentley here for that.
Yeah.
Or like you could have a Defender or something beautiful here for that. Like the stuff I'm looking at the moment is like middle of the range car, like low to middle of the range cars, and they're about $300 a month. And I'm like, oh my God, I got completely screwed over by this guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You got to
be careful, right? Because the other thing is obviously it's weird that it was an Aussie actor because, I mean, I feel like there would be some camaraderie there. Like, I'm going to have
surely
calm
is
right.
going to come for that person.
Surely. Yeah.
I always say when I get screwed over by an Australian actor, because I've been screwed over a couple of times, I always say
really?
When I am producing a movie and I see that name come in the audition, I'm going to be like, they were such a dingo to me 4 years ago when I needed a leg up, you know. Anyway,
I find that horrifying, actually, to be honest,
because
it's
scammed on a house last year by an Australian.
What?
But then I also got taken in and saved by an Australian, so it's definitely not.
It's not all Australians.
Bad. Yeah.
Tell me what we had a few little topics that we wanted to touch on, a few hot topics, Hollywood hot topics, maybe we should call it. What have you had any horror stories while you've been over there? Let's share some stories about that.
Yeah, not this trip. This trip's been, obviously I've got Matt with me, so I feel so much more secure within myself and also confident. Like there's something about having your like cheerleader with you and somebody that's going to like pump up your tires. Like I'm really nervous at acting school at the moment because I'm doing quite an intimate sexually charged scene and my scene partner is 15 years younger than me. Yeah, he's 23 and I'm 38. And so, you know, like it can feel like very uncomfortable, which I know is part of acting school. You're meant to sit in the discomfort. It's a safe space to fail and learn and try things on. But like when there's full on kissing and stuff, you're just like, fuck.
Yes, tell me about this. Cause we were voice noting last week and you were telling me about this. This is my first, Logs was like, this is my first scene up at acting class. I've got this full on sex scene. Have you put it up yet?
2 hours. Talk to me in 2 fucking hours. I'll be putting it up.
Oh, shit, tonight. Yeah, right. How have you gone with the prep, though? Because have you been rehearsing with your scene partner to do this or are you just prepping it by yourself at this point?
We rehearsed and we had a boundaries talk. So this school is all about boundaries talks. But this is what you're going to love. The technique we're learning is Meisner, and I know you are a Meisner actor.
Yes.
So for the listener, it is one style of acting that relies more heavily on your imagination than your own like psychological trauma, let's say, which I love. I'm all about not dredging up terrible things that have happened to you in the past and relying on that. I'm much more like, let's create a safe space to go to these places. So we've been learning the script by rote, which is quite hard to do having a background of Chubbuck and studying in Australia where you have actions, beats, very clear objectives, you know. And in this scene, my super objective might be something like to be loved or to connect, but you can't even lean into that because you're learning by rote. So, like, we're doing – am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, I swear.
So we're doing this scene where I have to, like, look at the – into this guy's eyes and go, fuck me the way you fuck her, his fiance, who was my best friend. And, you know, and Can you imagine if I had to cast, like, in other acting schools, you've got to cast someone from your real life as your scene partner. I'd be like, oh, my God, like, this is a very toxic relationship anyway. This scene is a toxic because there's a lot of cheating and whatnot involved. And I'm just like, I'm loving that I'm learning a new technique that feels safe. But I am still I'm a bit scared because I'm like, God, I've had to do scenes like this before, and like I've had feedback like this is not a joke. I think the last time we spoke, I just put this scene up, like last time I did your pod, and they were like, Lola, you need to feel it in your clit. Like, how's that for a note?
Yeah. I mean, that's so LA.
It's so LA. I think I'm nervous because I've been scarred from other acting classes and you know, being told things like that in front of your classmates while they're snickering. It's just like, oh, hard. But I'm really excited to learn this technique because I've never learned it before.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to love it. And that has happened. So when I was in LA, I studied Meisner, and I think there's lots of different techniques, and they work, you know, everyone has a different way of working. But that's the one thing that I love about it, is the fact that you don't draw on your own past traumatic experiences, quote unquote. Yeah. Because also as an actor, this is one thing that I found, and I don't think this is talked about enough, that you have to differentiate your own mental and emotional well-being as you, Lola, and the actor, because this is why you find or you hear stories of actors that get so engrossed in their characters, and then they almost become their character because they are inhabiting all of these emotional states and characteristics. And, you know, Heath Ledger, right? Mm. The Joker, what a scary character to play. And if you were to be in that mindset for an extended period of time, that's essentially what makes you another person. I mean, that's what makes up being a human, the different repetitive habits, thoughts, beliefs that they have. So that's why I think Meisner is safe for the actor, because it separates you out. And like you said, so for those of you listening, Meisner is about creating imaginary circumstances. So as if you were in this, but it hasn't actually happened to you in the past or in the future. And that's what keeps you separate from it. Yeah. And I love that.
Yeah. And it kind of, yeah, it feels like a much safer psychological space to be in. But that said, I've booked my therapist for tomorrow because I want to deal with if there is any underlying anxiety around going to that place. I want to have my therapist with, like, on call so that I can be like, okay, this is still making me feel uncomfortable. And it is uncomfortable. Like, you're straddling someone, or you're like
some stranger,
stranger. Like, it is uncomfortable. Like, I was talking to an acting bud about it last night, and he's like, maybe you've got some blocks there. And I'm like, anybody would have a block there. Like, anybody. I'm like, it's scary, you know? So yeah. Like, that's another thing for anyone listening. Like, if you have any kind of creative career, whether it's like acting, an artist, a musician, like Matt's a composer, like having a therapist is so good because it just brings this non-biased kind of like viewpoint and POV to something that sometimes you can feel like you're in the eye of the storm of, and it brings this clarity and perspective that doesn't have all your own shit layered on top of it. It's just like, here you go, this is what's hard, this is what's working, this is the way through, you know?
Yeah, it's a really, I think all actors should see some sort of therapist or someone just for their own mental health. I really do. Have you done this? Is this going to be the first kissing scene you've done, or was the last one that you did, was that a kissing scene also?
The one that we spoke about last time, I did a scene from Succession where I played Jerry and I had to verbally berate a younger character while he masturbated.
Oh, that's right. It wasn't a kiss. Yeah. It was uncomfortable, wasn't it? Yeah,
I've done that, and then I've done another sitcom scene, which was, I thought, like, I wasn't even scared to do it, but I was like straddling a guy in bed. We weren't kissing, but like he had his hands up, and the teacher stopped us mid scene, and she's like, "Stop, Lola, stop!" And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And she's like, "You're blue-jacking," and I was like, "Oh, okay." What's that? That's in front of all my classmates, and she's like, "You look like you're giving a blowjob. Your head's moving up and down," and I was like, right. So like, but gave me no practical tools to move through it. And I was like, if you're going to call me out in front of the class and use me as an example, no problem, but like, help me through it. Like, help me discover like, obviously it's a subconscious behavior that I was talking and moving my head up and down as I was talking, but there was no tool given to me to move through it. It was just using me as an example. And so, like, that felt quite uncomfortable. But yeah, maybe I've done so much therapy that I'm like, that's shit behavior. You shouldn't be doing that to your students. You know what I mean?
You're like analyzing the teacher and their teaching method.
Yeah, whereas I feel safe. Like, I'm sure if I said to this in this class, oh, I don't feel super comfortable going there yet, they'd be like, no problem. Yeah. Like, I feel so safe in this class.
The good thing about Meisner too is that, like you said, you learn the scenes by rote, which I don't know if you have to do this. I did it by you had to write it down, but no punctuation as well.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Which so gives no, you so much so freedom.
So it's much hard freedom, though, because you know you want to say, like, I've got a line going, isn't it odd to have a gazebo by the water? And you so badly want to be like, go up and intonate at the end and go, isn't it odd to have a gazebo by the water? But you can't, because you're not meant to...
No, it's which lead it meant to have nothing on it. And just you have the words.
Monotone, like last class, we were just almost like, isn't it odd to have a gazebo by the water? You know, like, it, and then the next one, it's like a canopy bed. Like, you're putting no emotion, no nothing behind it. It's so weird, you know?
Have you started the repetition exercise yet?
No, but I've done that in a different Meisner class. Okay. Is that where, like, if I was looking at you now and I was like, Rachel, you're holding a microphone, would you then say I'm holding a microphone?
Yeah. So the repetition exercise is you just observe something on me. So you'd say you're holding a microphone, and then I'd say I'm holding a microphone, and we'd say that back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and you will notice the subtext of what we are saying. So I guess the idea of the exercise is that the words don't matter. We could be saying, your hair is blue, my hair is blue, but you'll start to notice the tone of the language.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, pumped.
So when you do it with different partners, right? So for example, if you were partnered with somebody that you were attracted to, that would come out. From my hair is blue, your hair is blue. That would you'd be able to hear the nuances in the language, and it's not about the words. It's Meisner's all about the subtext and the behavior, because you know they drill into you about the about behavior, and that's how we as humans communicate. It's a lot of the words so you know very limiting, but that's how we pick up on things we don't even know that we are. But it's fascinating. It's so fascinating.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, I love that. Oh, you've got me excited now for class.
So when you do the scene, because you're going to be you're kissing this guy, right, in the scene?
There's a turning point where, like, I turn to full. So she goes from, like, quite cold to full passiona. And right. it doesn't specify how, but I'm – it's hard as well because I've interviewed intimacy coaches on my pod. And yes. I'm like, oh, like – you could achieve it just by changing your breath or like touching him in a different way. It doesn't feel like it needs to be like a macking on scene, but like that could be me like deep diving it too heavily. But yeah, there is a point towards the end where she jumps him essentially, like, and is like, oh my God, I've wanted you so badly. You're so fucking beautiful. Da, 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 da. It does switch from her being quite, it feels cat and mouse at the start where she's like, you don't want me. And he's like, I want you. And that's when she's like, just fuck me like I'm someone else. And right. then as soon as he touches her, she's just like, oh my God, I love you. You're so beautiful. I've always wanted you. Da, da, da.
So have you got, what are your thoughts around how you're going to do that in rehearsal? Because I know in scene study, I'm just trying to think. Generally speaking, I think in rehearsals, there's generally no kissing. I guess that's a general rule as what I've experienced. But I mean, how is it? But I've definitely had actor friends who have definitely macked on in scene study. What's the kind of vibe?
Well, the rule is keep it to in the room, like in the actor's studio when you like, so in the classroom, if for anything kissing.
Right.
At our school. I don't know. I feel like this sounds really weird and I might feel different after tonight, but I feel like that's the easy way out. Like just kissing feels like the easy way out. I'm like, there is so much more, like the way you were saying the subtext, the underneath it. This chick is like, goes from like irate anger to extreme vulnerability. And so you can do that in so many, like in an embrace. So I don't necessarily think that like some cheesy macking off scene is the answer, but we'll see. I'll report back.
Yeah, report back. I mean, I think this is, I think as an actor, that's one thing that a lot of people don't have to deal with is obviously kissing other people that aren't your partner, you know. Mm. So it is, it's definitely something, in my experience, it's definitely, firstly, I know Matt is awesome and so supportive of you, but it definitely for me has been not everyone can date an actor.
Yeah, Matt couldn't give two hoots.
Yeah, he's but like, I think it's because he's a creative as well, though he kind of gets it. But
that's what I said. Yeah, my scene partner said that when we rehearsed. He was like, have you told your partner? And I was like, yeah, I have. And he's like, what did he say? I'm like, oh, he's a composer. He couldn't care, honestly.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, go for it. Go live your life. Like, I don't care.
But I've had, you know, an ex-partner who was he was not a creative, not in the industry at all, and was definitely not comfortable with it. And
really?
So, yeah. And so, and I've got other actor friends who've had similar experiences as well, where it's very difficult to pursue a career if your partner is not okay with it. I mean, if you get a script and you're kissing someone in a scene, I mean, that's your job. And I get that from if you're not an actor, it does seem kind of like, well, so what? You just kiss other people like on, you know, and it's work. But so I get his perspective, but that's one thing that I feel like you're lucky that you've got Matt that's, you know, a creative and gets it as well. Because I think if you are an actor, you need to be with someone who really understands the art form. Otherwise, it causes havoc in relationships for sure.
I hadn't even thought about that. It makes total sense what you're saying. Well, yeah. Have you got any tips? What did you do like when you've had to do kissing scenes?
Well, I've done a few. I've done a couple on stage, one in scene study, actually with, you've studied with him as well, Ian Sinclair. Did a masterclass scene. So one of our scenes I did a kiss. You just do it.
So he is the one teacher that I would happily do that in front of. Like
he's great.
You're so safe with him. Like I remember one of my first classes with him, I had to beg a guy to fuck me again. That was one of my first classes with Ian. And I was on my knees and my head was at this guy's penis level. And I had to sit there and hold his leg and be like, please just fuck me, like, and just go over. And he did a bit of Meisner and I had to keep going over and over and just until Ian called cut, I was like, please fuck me, please, like, and all these different versions of it. And I felt so safe to go there with Ian.
Yeah.
And again, I always get these young boys, always my scene partners. It was this young kid. But it depends on like the space. Like I probably wouldn't kiss someone in a Chubbuck class. I've never felt safe enough to do that. Yeah. But I think it depends on the
teacher class. And the space. Yeah.
So what was Ian's cue for you? Like what did he say to help you through that?
For the kissing? Nothing really. No,
it was just like, go for it.
Go for it. I mean, it called for it. It was in the scene. Now I'm trying to think what actual scene it was. I think it was The Village Bike. It was a play. And so no real notes about the kissing. I mean, and I think the kissing is really a very minute moment of the entire scene. So yeah. That was completely fine. Felt safe on that. I think I did one other one in a play, and I've done two on-screen kisses as well on television. So one was on Neighbours, and the other one was on a US show that I did. And the Neighbours one, we blocked through all the. So you have rehearsals in Neighbours before you go on set to film. So we had a rehearsal day. We blocked roughly the scene. You don't really, I think in the blocking, it's just very rough in terms of main positioning. You don't go in, you don't do any kissing or anything like that. And it's not until the actual takes. So you just go in and you just do it on the take. Yeah. Okay, guys, that concludes part one of this hot desk segment. We're going to come back next week with part two where you can hear the rest of my conversation with Lols all about Hollywood, our highlights, our horror stories, all of those things. Stay tuned. In the meantime, do make sure you check out Lols' podcast. It's the Fearlessly Failing podcast with Lola Berry. I'll pop up all her links in the show notes as well, so make sure you check it out. Again, if you're not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe button. It does make such a difference and it will help us grow the podcast for you. Thanks for tuning in, guys, and we'll catch you next week on the Hot Desk on the Rachel J Podcast.